This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Welcome back to the Daily Digest with me, T. Xiao Yik, together with Kelly Anissa and Sharmila Gunnison. Earlier, we took a look at the world's first malaria vaccine in conjunction with World Malaria Day today. And now we're turning to politics. So, Kelly, what are we asking on social media?
So, we're asking you, you know, what is your favorite political meme? And to share it with us, you know, you can also tweet us your thoughts on, you know, what you think about memes, political memes in general at BFM Radio. You could WhatsApp us at 018-789-8899. Or you can call us at 03-7733-2900. So we're asking you that because the New York Times recently published an article about living in the age of political memes. Mm. So while the author had focused on the Pakistani-India and India conflict, I want to just, you know, recenter this discussion and look at the impact of meme culture and how it changes the way we discuss politics today.
Right. Okay.
So, you know, it is becoming increasingly clear that the way political information spreads today is evolving, you know, especially with social media.
Sure.
So more recently, we've actually seen this evolve to include the use of internet memes in a more political context, of course.
But before we go any further, let's try and understand what political memes are. So it's a purposefully designed visual framing of a political position. Memes generally have at least one of two characteristics. Number one, they are inside jokes. And number two, they tend to trigger an emotional reaction.
Right.
And memes work politically if they are widely or virally shared, if they help cultivate a sense of belonging to an in-group because of the inside joke that you're making, and also if they make a compelling normative statement about a public figure or a political issue, you know, a statement that is commonly shared among a lot of people. So memes, as we know, spread rapidly online and into popular culture due to their shareability and, you know, the fact that they quickly communicate the creator's stance on a particular subject.
Yeah, and at every political event, there's a fresh set of memes being circulated all over the internet, you know, particularly Twitter. So here's a short clip from the New York Times series called Interneting with Amanda Hess about the dark art of political memes, how they work and why both politicians and citizens use it. Here, have a listen.
Memes put a new twist on the old idea of charismatic authority in politics. Charismatic leaders used to imbue themselves with mythos, claiming to possess special qualities and cults of personality around themselves. But on the internet, a lot of that work has been transferred to citizens who take their leaders' tics and blow them up into superhuman form. And as they do it, they're creating really strong tribal and emotional ties around those personalities. If you make a meme about a candidate and then they become president, it can feel like you created a piece of the presidential persona, like a part of you is president. Memes give us the power to build leaders' personalities or destroy them. Our conception of politicians is now made up of sets of competing, polarized memes. Any moment can be manipulated into a positive or negative, depending on your allegiance. Because memes don't need to grapple with reality, they spread a lot faster than typical forms of political speech. And in presidential politics, we've never seen anyone benefit from this more...
You are fake news.
...than Donald Trump. His campaign rallies became like incubators for ideas with viral potential. Think about the defining meme of Trumpism.
We need to build a wall.
It never made any practical sense that the United States would build a 2,000-mile wall and that Mexico would pay for it, but anytime reality tried to get in the way, Trump would double down on the meme. For his biggest fans, Trump himself is the ultimate meme. They've become so invested in promoting his persona that his promises have become almost irrelevant, like outdated versions of a meme that have been replaced by the next amusing thing. That's the seductive danger of democracy as meme. It can make us feel like we have more personal control over a politician. But it's the politician who is seizing the real power, becoming immune to criticism and less accountable to us.
So seemingly neutral memes can also be weaponized. You know, an infamous example is Pepe the Frog, which evolved from a sad frog cartoon into a symbol for the politically charged racist and anti-Semitic messages of the so-called alt-right, which is a US-based white nationalist movement. So here is a short clip from International Business Times UK interviewing Dr. Anastasia Denisova, who has researched internet memes as a means of political resistance and viral cultures. So here is a short clip of that.
They didn't have much place in mainstream politics, mainstream media, but then you have social networks, right, where, well, practically anyone can have their say. Anyone can post something there. Anyone can attract followers. And I wouldn't blame or say that memes right, were the reason of the rise of the right wing. They were just, you know, the very suitable vehicle for those guys to be more seen, right, to get into the mainstream, into the digital mainstream these days. But they just grab your attention, right? I mean, it's just so flashy, you cannot pass by without noticing it. And attention is already power, right? Attention is money in our days. So whoever gets attention is already more likely, okay, to have the crowds following him.
So authoritarian regimes are also reported to have co-opted online political humorous content, especially memes, both domestically and abroad, to advance their interests.
Whether they succeed or not is another question.
Yeah. Yeah, right? Yeah.
Well, closer to home, you know, we can also see the use of memes in our local politics, particularly with former Prime Minister Najib Abdul Razak. There was that notorious clown meme that was shared on social media a while back, based on Fahmi Reza's caricature of Najib. But then today Najib himself has actually resorted to using memes to take swipes at Pakatan Harapan.
Yeah.
In one of his Facebook posts earlier this year, he used the roll safe meme, you know, to question Harapan's justification of the cash handouts that and these images really did go viral. And that roll safe meme is often used to mock poor decision making and failures in critical thinking on their side.
So while memes can communicate ideas, there is concern that they are replacing the nuanced debate necessary in a healthy democracy, because a meme is just an image with something catchy, some catchy text to go with it. It's not a full-fledged discussion, right? It can be difficult to counter these negative effects of memes. And one problem is that they can rarely be fact-checked.
Sure.
You can say anything you want on a meme, right?
Yeah.
And their content is almost always ambiguous. It requires interpretation of what they call visual grammar. Mm-hmm. And so it's hard to hold their creators to account. For instance, when people are called out for creating something offensive or hateful, they can just deny the given meaning or state that, oh, it was just a joke.
Exactly.
Yeah, and I mean, you can never prove your point because, again, it's the humor and it's that interpretation of what that image means. Mm. So, you know, this is not to say that all memes, you know, or that memes in general are always aggressive or, you know, derogatory. A lot of times they just tend to make light out of serious issues and, you know, sensitive topics, even like the prospect of war. So, for example, that would be poking fun at very serious matters like the India and Pakistani relations or even the Israeli and Palestinian conflict. Mm. You know, but at the very same instances, they can also be used as a form of political warfare. And I mean, I've seen those online many times for very serious issues, but it's satire, I suppose, right? And, you know, this is especially more prevalent during elections. I remember the previous elections that we had, I think my entire timeline was really flooded with memes. Barisan and Pakatan.
It's a generational thing as well. The last election had so much of the younger generation getting very invested in it.
Yeah.
And that is a main form of communication for the social media savvy generation.
Exactly. Yeah. And while using humor as a coping mechanism isn't really new, the millennial and Gen Z generations, you know, they do have a tendency to approach serious issues with jokes. And this adds another layer to that kind of political discourse that's happening. It's just really a part of how these generations understand and process the reality around them.
Mm.
You know, memes aren't really inherently bad or good, but they do speak to a certain language, and they speak to a certain cultural moment, I suppose.
Yeah, sort of the zeitgeist.
And, you know, just going back to the article, I think it's safe to agree with the author when she says that memes have become a universal language for most of us. You know, whether we're facing hate speech or nuclear war, there's apparently nothing that can't be meme.
I mean,
what are your thoughts on this? Do you think they can influence politics or your politics?
I think they're a way to send across messages, right?
Mm.
I mean, the reason politicians are quote unquote hijacking memes is because they think it reaches certain demographics that they may not be able to appeal with in the traditional way.
Yeah, but I find that very forced, right? When you deliberately try to engineer memes, the beauty of memes, the reason they work, there's an organic thing about them, a spontaneity about somebody just catching on to a picture that of something that happened. And then the way that it goes viral, it's so organic. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And you can't sit down and strategize a meme. That defeats the whole purpose of it.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I agree with that. I was just thinking to myself before before we came in here, and I was thinking, to me, a meme has to be, it has to be funny, or it has to have that, oh my God, wow, for that oh my God factor. Like, mm-hmm. sometimes it's either really sarcastic or just funny. But like Shawik said, if it seems forced, it really doesn't, it doesn't push anything.
Yeah, mm-hmm. And that's, I think, perceived authenticity or perceived authenticity is such a big part of the online culture now.
That's true.
That when something seems like they're pretending or they're sort of riding on a wave, that's not what people want. I mean, put aside the fact that a lot of what is perceived as authentic may not necessarily be, mm-hmm. But the appearance that something is forced is really not going to work, like you said. The other thing with memes, of course, is that, I think it takes situations that are perhaps bigger or larger or more difficult, mm-hmm. and then makes it relatable, right? Mm-hmm. Makes it something familiar. I remember one of the sort of memes that really makes me laugh every time I look at it was when Khairi Jamaluddin, there was this picture of him in Parliament, mm-hmm. when I think the now opposition MPs, UMNO and PAS, did a walkout.
Yes.
And Khairi didn't.
He chose to stay.
Yeah. And there were so many versions of that picture being circulated, including with one of my favorite captions was, when you message a WhatsApp chat group and no one replies, right? And it immediately clicks, because we all know what that experience feels
yeah.
like. Well,
yeah.
we all, it's familiar.
Yeah.
You know, where else, like Parliament, walkout, you know, those things are a little bit more remote.
Yeah. So, I mean, to me, that's when a meme works, when it's a reaction to something. But when you try to, and this is my problem, if politicians were to try to stage like memeable kind of campaigns or where they try to use campaign issues to fit into a meme format,
right.
You are just sort of forcing it into a slogan type of mm-hmm. A format that it becomes very shallow. It becomes very superficial because there's a lot more that needs to be discussed that would go beyond a meme.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and you know that a lot of politicians today especially are trying to connect with the youth. And I remember, I can't recall specifically what it was, but during the last elections, I think Hillary Clinton, she posed a question on Twitter. I think it was a very serious issue. It was something along the lines of, you know, what do you think causes college dropouts? Replies in these three emojis, and so that was a bad reaction there. It came along the same intentions as, you know, like any other politician wanting to use a meme to connect with you. But like you said, if you execute it poorly or if it's forced, it's so obvious and it's cringy.
It's cringy. It's like your middle-aged parent trying to connect with you.
It's very awkward. But at the same time, I think like a lot of my friends who when we were in college, I remember not all of us knew how to articulate what we thought about the election. So, you know, we can't just say, oh, I hate that. Mm-hmm. We couldn't just say stuff like that. So what we did was we shared a lot of memes, and that was our way of explaining how we felt about the situation without sounding rude or, you know, just, not being articulate enough.
But does this sharing of memes reading or getting it shared with you, does it influence your political allegiances or your thoughts on issues?
For me, no. I mean, if anything, my memes reflect my political, where I stand. I personally disagree with memes being used as a form of campaigning, because I don't think it works.
Mm.
I think it's just a way of you showing where you stand on a matter.
I think where it possibly helps is in, sometimes you only hear of something that happened because you saw a meme of it. You know, a politician might have said something ridiculous or offensive even, or, you know, a policy thing might have been announced. And a lot of people with the glut of news information, you don't even pay attention.
Mm.
But when, you know, 20 people on your social media are sharing a meme of that moment, and then you might be like, okay, why is that MP sitting alone in that room?
Mm.
And then Google what happened. And then you find out something about a larger issue.
Mm, that's true.
Which could go either either way, sure, positive or negative, depending on your allegiances, which then might indirectly have the effect of shaping your opinion in a particular way.
I think there's the other potential way it could shape your opinion, but this is a negative way, impact of memes, where memes are used to attack.
Yes.
And memes are unfortunately very effective in that sense, because it's an image that can be, that's meant to be funny. And
all the Hillary memes before the elections were just hateful.
Exactly. And they are used in that negative sense. Unfortunately, they are effective as well, I think.
But I suppose it's a matter of perspective, isn't it? Depending on where you stand, you would think that, I mean, if you're using Donald Trump and Hillary as an example, if you were on Trump's side, you would find the Hillary memes hilarious. Anyway, you would find them funny. But if you were on Hillary's side, they were equally sort of fairly...
That's true.
But then the danger is that one needs to qualify that there were a lot of things about Trump that were cringeworthy and, you know, humorous.
Very meme-worthy.
Yeah, whereas the ones that Hillary was being attacked on were often very personal and very unfair. But who draws those distinctions, right?
And you are right. They would be shared by people already who have already identified which camp they're
in. Yes, and so that echo chamber effect.
That's true.
I mean, you shared your favorite meme, so I just want to share mine. I have a lot.
Kelly has a folder of memes.
Yes, I actually have an Instagram folder. Like, now you can save your pictures on Instagram, so I do that. You know, I remember during the elections, I joined this page called Najib Memes for Barisan Teens. I mean, I'm not saying that I am aligned with that politically, but it was just so funny. And I remember after the Avengers came out, which it just came out again yesterday, remember those pictures, those images of them just disappearing?
Yeah, and then the counterpoint of them was, of course, with the ones with Tun Mahathir, with Thanos' gauntlet, and all the different parties being the Infinity Stones. Yes, it was, I think the timing of the election and the Avengers spawned a lot of great memes.
Well, you know, earlier we asked you what's your favorite political meme, and if you still want to share them, you can tweet them over at BFM Radio, WhatsApp at 018-789-8899, or, you know, post them on our Facebook page on BFM The Bigger Picture. That's all the time we have for the Daily Digest today. If you missed any part of the show, you can download the podcast on bfm.my, on our BFM app, or on Spotify. Coming up at 3 p.m. on Front Row, Sharmila, you'll be speaking to Trinity College London about getting students with special needs involved in music. So stay tuned for that. Meanwhile, here's Politician by Cream on BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.